While states are able to fulfill most supply needs, there are still some shortages of personal protective equipment.
Hi, and welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm Holly Hobbs. COVID-19 cases began increasing again in mid-September, further highlighting the federal government's role in responding to the pandemic's continuing and devastating impacts on public health and the economy. Here at GAO, we've been monitoring and reviewing the federal response to COVID-19 and are issuing bi-monthly reports that, among things, identify opportunities for the federal government to improve its response and prepare for future challenges. Today we talk about our latest report, which looks at COVID-19 testing, vaccine development, and unemployment issues. With us to talk about this report are two directors who are leading GAO's effort to audit the federal response to COVID-19. Joining us are Nikki Clowers, the managing director of our healthcare team, and Tom Costa, an acting director in our education, workforce, and income security team. Thank you for joining us, Nikki and Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Holly.
So, Nikki, let's first talk about the federal government's role in responding to COVID-19's impacts on public health. Specifically, let's talk about medical supply shortages and vaccine development. Can you provide us with an update on how the federal government is doing in terms of providing critical medical supplies like personal protective equipment to frontline workers?
There's a number of steps the government has taken since the outset of the pandemic to help make sure that facilities and providers have needed supplies. Nevertheless, there's shortages that still persist. In our September report, we reported on the shortages that we saw based on interviews with state as well as information from FEMA and FDA. For this report, we conducted a nationwide survey of all the states and territories and had about an 80% response rate. And we asked them about their needs in terms of PPE testing and other supplies. And what we found was that while states are able to fulfill most supply needs that they get, there are still some shortages in the areas of personal protective equipment, such as gloves.
And what about COVID testing equipment like nasal swabs?
For the most part, they were able to fulfill requests for swabs needed for testing. But again, there's still pockets of shortages. So, for example, most states reported that they had shortages of rapid point-of-care testing equipment, as well as the reagents needed for the analysis of the samples. And we reiterate the recommendations that we made in our September report that FEMA and HHS should work together to develop plans to help mitigate these shortages moving forward in the pandemic.
And Nikki, since we're talking about testing, we heard a lot this summer about shifts in CDC guidance on whether asymptomatic individuals should get tested or not. Can you talk about that shift and GAO's review of federal testing guidance?
Yes, there has been changes to the testing guidance that CDC has issued. And we reviewed the guidance and the rationale for those changes. And what we found is that the rationale for the changes have not always been transparent, and sort of explaining why they're making a change to the guidance. And so we make a recommendation to CDC to address this issue to help improve transparency of any changes they make to the testing guidance going forward.
And how about vaccines? It sounds like we're close to having a vaccine available to the public, but what are the plans for getting that vaccine mass produced and distributed?
I think what you're seeing now is with that good news that we've had over the past couple of weeks is really a pivot to look towards distribution of a potential vaccine. And this is an area that we've been talking about since the summer. In our September report, we made a recommendation to FDA to start working on these distribution plans and make sure that they're involving all the stakeholders into developing the plans, because distribution presents a number of challenges as well. For example, under distribution, you would have issues such as communicating to the public, educating the public, training healthcare providers on how to use and administer the drugs, as well as the logistics of getting the drug from the manufacturer to the patient. And so this will take time in terms of rolling out and distributing any vaccine that is authorized, and it's an issue that we'll continue to track and report on.
So it sounds like the federal government has made progress in responding to the health risks of COVID-19. But there are still concerns about the transparency of these efforts, and we know that health concerns are ultimately delaying economic recovery. Tom, you looked at unemployment insurance claims. How has the eligibility for unemployment changed during the pandemic?
So the CARES Act created three new programs that temporarily expanded eligibility for unemployment insurance. The first program augmented unemployment benefits by providing an additional $600 per week. That expired at the end of July. And then in August, the president redirected some funds to support an additional $300 or $400 per week for an additional 6 weeks. The second was the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program that extended benefits for an additional 13 weeks. Some Americans have already expended their additional weeks, but the extension will expire at the end of the year for those who have not. And the third was the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, or PUA, program that allowed up to 39 weeks of benefits for individuals who aren't normally able to collect benefits, like gig workers or self-employed employees. The PUA program is also set to expire at the end of December.
And what trends did you see with unemployment claims?
The Department of Labor publishes weekly news releases with information about unemployment. And these weekly news releases show that the number of initial claims remains really high. For example, during the week ending November 7th, labor reported individuals filed over 1 million initial claims for the unemployment insurance program. These numbers are lower than the peak back in April of 6.2 million. So it does appear that workers are losing their jobs at a slower rate. That said, the number of initial claims is still about three times higher than in 2019.
And we found some issues with labor's claims data, right?
While the initial claims provide useful information, it doesn't measure the actual number of people that continue to claim benefits from week to week. And we found that the continued claims data has problems. So prior to the pandemic, state counts of continued claims were a good approximation of the number of people claiming benefits because each week, any given person would typically file a claim for just one previous week of unemployment at a time. But during the pandemic, that hasn't been the case. There's been backlogs in processing all of this historic volume of claims, and individuals are claiming multiple weeks of benefits at one time while they wait for their applications to be processed. So by using continued claims counts, individuals who submitted multiple claims at the same time get counted more than once in labor's estimates, potentially overcounting the number of people collecting benefits. At the same time, not all the states have been submitting their data in a timely fashion, so it hasn't been included in the weekly estimates. So we're potentially undercounting the number of people from that direction. So as a result, we don't actually know the number of people that continue to claim benefits from week to week.
So Tom, what impact does all that have on both the individuals who are relying on those checks and then the government's ability to oversee this program?
Millions of Americans have relied on these benefits to get by during the pandemic. And while many of these benefits have already expired, the PUA program for gig workers is set to expire in December, and that will further impact those relying on these benefits. In addition, the reliable data are also needed to understand the role that unemployment insurance benefits are playing in the economy during this pandemic. And without an accurate accounting of the number of individuals who are relying on the benefits, it's hard for us to respond to the crisis at hand. Frankly, policymakers just need better information. So as a result, in our November report, we're making two recommendations. The first recommendation is that labor should revise its weekly news releases to clarify that they are not reporting the number of unique individuals claiming benefits. And the second is that labor find a way to report the actual number of people claiming benefits during the pandemic. And the states actually have this data, so they can find a way to get this information, we believe. If they're able to do so, this will help labor and the Congress, our policymakers, identify lessons learned. It could help shape a possible extension of the programs if that does happen, or at least inform future policies should another crisis hit.
And last question, Nikki, what's the bottom line of this report?
And we really are at a pivotal time for government efforts in terms of helping address these challenges in the areas of supplies, testing, vaccine, as well as efforts to help address the economic effects of the pandemic. And so the bottom line of this report is that we're identifying some immediate actions the government can be taken during this pivotal time to help address those challenges.
That was GAO's Nikki Clowers and Tom Costa talking about our newest report on the federal government's response to COVID-19. Thank you for your time, Nikki and Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to The Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, and make sure you leave a rating and review to let others know about the work we're doing. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.